Welcome to the 125th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one half of your hosts, Mark Davis, and I am here with Lee Bretschneider. How are you, Lee?
Motherfucker!
I'm doing great.
Oh man, we've been climbing down the annals of sound clips.
Yeah, and I found a bunch of drops.
Dying laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Indeed, including this recent one right here. Oh wait, that wasn't it. Hold on.
Okay.
Wait, here it is.
I'm helpless in the tides, just letting it pull my body whichever way it wants. Yank my pants off, touch me wherever it pleases. Stroke my nipples. Play with my hair. Kiss my face. Lap my teats.
That's how deep Mark gets in the sus.
That was a very deep sus.
That was a deep sus. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And we are also joined here today.
Oh, tell him.
By a very wonderful guest.
Soldier Lee, tell him.
One of our favorites. It's Seth.
Hello,
Seth. The old Ed McMahon.
Yes.
Welcome, Seth.
It sounded like you were about to say the old, one of our favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say dickheads, I think. I don't know. Of course. No, oh, yeah. Seth. We're always happy to have you on. It's always a pleasure. And so thank you for coming and hanging out with us.
Never get tired of coming back.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
And this is not, I mean, it sounds like we might just have started hanging out, but we actually, earlier today. Day.
What's your name again?
Teamed up. Yes. Quizmaster Lee. Don't you forget it.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm still
Quizmaster if you're nasty.
Yeah. No, but we went out and teamed up for a trivia today.
We did.
We went to Bar and Grill in Cape Coral, Florida. We sat outside. We ate delicious chicken body parts, such as wings. I had the wings.
I, too, had wings.
And Seth, you had the tenders.
I had the tenders.
Which I don't know what
I went full 5-year-old on you guys today and had the tenders.
It's all good.
And they were nice enough to turn on Paw Patrol for me while I had the tenders.
Yeah. I believe those are breast meats.
In the tender?
Yeah. I think the tender is from the breast region.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And for our listeners, that's what Seth calls Dog the Bounty Hunter, Paw Patrol. but anyway, the wings were great, I would say. The trivia was interesting.
Trivia was interesting. It was,
yeah. So they have kind of an interesting format over there for tiebreakers. That was the first thing that stood out as being kind of strange.
And I was just having a conversation with something about this. I'm a firm believer that trivia through and through should be a game of a maybe not a game, but a
oh, you can say it's a game.
Okay.
A display of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. A display of knowledge, a battle of wits.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And their tiebreakers are broken by rolling dice.
Yeah. Pretty much all chance. And if there is skill, it's kind of cheating.
Yeah, I remember them saying they're going to roll dice, and I care you and or Seth were like,
"That's what I was like.
Is that what is that for?"
Yeah,
I was like, "That's how they break a tie," and you both were just
disgusted. Not,
yeah,
I think is the word. Disgusted.
Do you want to give us that dice rolling sound?
Drop? Oh, I didn't fix it.
It's terrible.
I'll start it.
That's it. That's there.
Son
it
of a bitch.
Oh, that's not it either.
All right, I think that's it. So, yeah, it's like pitched down and slowed down, so you're just going to hear some creepy noises in the background, but we tried to get a dice rolling drop in here. Anyways.
I'll just come right out and say that I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I do like love that. I don't think I'll ever get tired of that. But the dice rolling, I think I don't like it.
No, it should be, like it. A tiebreaker should be maybe a simple trivia question, I think.
Yep.
Or, as I do, going to the bonus rounds and seeing who performed better on each bonus round, that would determine a tiebreaker.
Even that.
Kind of speed things along, you know, you don't have to break the game up so much.
But anything other rolling, than putting it, yeah, I mean, to apply your skill is what you're there for. And I'm a big believer in that, and I think it's leaving it up to chance, man? No. It's not a casino. It's trivia.
Right. And then we had a question that was worded a bit tricky. Said, what trade name contains the French words for velvet and hook?
Yes.
Right.
Which, I mean, immediately knowing that Velcro is, I can't remember exactly what kind of name Velcro is given, but it's hook and something. is what Velcro is called. And I was like, Velcro has got to be the answer. But I was like, trade name? What does that mean, trade name?
Yeah, I'm thinking like plumber, you know, like carpenter, roofer, a trade.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so, you've been running trivia for years now. Seth, you've run the occasional trivia.
A couple.
And you've played.
Many times.
Many, many times. And one thing you have to expect when you're running trivia is that people are going to have questions. People are going to ask for clarification.
Yes.
It's just, it's going to happen.
Comes with the territory.
Exactly. So, Lee, you flagged down the quizmaster and asked, started to ask
I for said,
clarification.
Yeah. The way this is worded, trade name, and she pretty much just immediately said, it's worded the way that it is, and then turned around and walked away.
It is
she
what it is. Shut you down.
Yeah.
She totally and completely, without giving you a chance to even, you know, bring up like what, you know, to get any further. She totally and come now. Let me just point something out. We drove there to enjoy this game. That's what we like. It's what we do. It's part of, you know, it's obviously part of who we all are.
It's fucking dangerous these days.
Yeah, exactly. And we came in there and we sat down and we ordered things at the bar and we got, you know, I got my tenders. And I would expect, you know, just if I ask you a question, treat me like a human being and answer the question. Sadly, this quizmaster, without even letting him finish his question, shut him down. As if I do get that it's a hard job. I do get that it's that there's, you know, that you're sometimes going to deal with people that have been drinking too much, which you had not, and did not display that in any way, shape, or form. Right. And she just flat out shut you down. It was a tad bit of a turnoff. I don't want to say anything bad about because I enjoyed my time there and I enjoyed the food, but just. It was a little tasteless.
And we generally did pretty good on the quiz.
Yeah, we did very well.
We missed two.
And one of them was my fault.
Yes.
The question was and I
we couldn't escape without blaming one of ourselves.
Well, it was through and through my fault. The question was, what color are $1 bills in Monopoly? And I knew the answer. And we were shooting the shit as friends are wont to do. And in this rigmarole of talking and stuff, I wrote down ones because I was thinking color. The question was, we were so sure about white. I was like, oh, white bills are which right. I had reversed the question in my head. So I wrote down ones and this also kind of annoyed me. And I do understand where the quizmaster was coming from here, but we had handed in
a perfect answer game sheet.
Yeah.
And
I mean, really?
Yeah. And the question was, what color are singles in Monopoly? And after coming to pick up our next answer sheet, she said, you wrote down LS. And I was like, oh, no, it's ones. And everybody was like, oh, the question was, what was the color? And I was like, well, if you weren't sure what LS meant. And you knew that it was like weird, then why didn't you ask me what the deal was?
Why not be personable and engage?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that it comes off like she doesn't really like her job. That's kind of like what it seems like to me. It's like, well, I got this job, you know, doing trivia for somebody.
You know, Mark, she is above that job.
Well, I'm sure.
She has a degree in sunburns from Trucker Hat University. And yeah. So
no, there was a chemistry question and she was like, "Oh, I'm a biologist." It's like, all right, well
that's good. A little bit different.
So it's parallel.
Yeah, yeah.
So but anyway,
we still did well. Velcro was the correct answer.
Yep.
I was happy with that.
Yeah, what was it? It was a mixture of Velcro. Of velvet and hook. And I don't know what the French word for velvet is. It's probably velvet, but
Velvita.
The French word for hook is crochet. So didn't take, you know, that much to figure out, you know, it's Velcro. Yep.
But I don't know about the trade name. I think that would need a reword. Maybe we can get her to send in a rate my question or something.
Yeah, I doubt it. Also, the last question was, in Judaism, what's the day of rest? Which anybody who's seen The Big Lebowski knows that Shomer Shabbos is on Saturday.
I don't roll on Shabbos.
Yeah, Walter does not roll.
He doesn't eat. He doesn't cook.
And sure as shit, don't fucking roll on Shabbos.
He's not going to abandon 5,000 years of tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And once again,
from Sandy Koufax to
for our Patreon supporters, if you want to watch The Big Lebowski with the No No Squad, me and Mark and Eric sat down to watch that with an alternate audio track, comedy audio track.
Yes.
And yeah, it's like having us give you trivia and talk about the movie while you watch it.
And nice. Featuring Eric.
Yeah.
There you go.
Which you can't turn down anything, Eric.
No, he's great. No. He's great. Firm All right. Order. Well, Seth, mm-hmm. you brought some questions for us.
I did. Good. I brought some questions. Are you
now that our 2 minutes hate is over?
Our expressions.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm like Usher over here.
So, yeah, what categories do you have?
My categories are, I have one that's, I don't know, is it chemistry or biology? We'll figure that out when we get to it. I'm not
Same
sure.
Same thing.
Yeah, the other one Same is, thing. Yeah, another one is famous concerts. Another one is relating to professional sports.
Uh-oh.
One is a movie question.
Good.
Sort of movie okay. question. They're a little bit, you know, the category's a little bit roundabout. And then finally, the last one is just flat out geography.
Yes. Fun.
Yes.
Great.
I'm going to, it was kind of inspired by, normally I do a World War II question, and this was inspired by World War II, but it's not a World War II question.
Wow. Okay. So yes. It's kind of connected, but this is rare for you to step off the World War II a little bit.
I wanted to give you guys a break.
Something fresh. Thank you.
Yeah.
You knew we weren't going to get it.
You know what? I would like to point this out on the last one, because I wrote the question wrong, and I don't want to say that. I asked you guys a question that you guys got right, and because of my intent on the question when I wrote it was one thing, and I did not write it correctly in order to get the answer that I wanted, the answer that you gave turned out to be 100% on the money correct.
Thank you.
What was the first battle technically won by the Allies in the Pacific? And I was thinking land battles, and that land battles would be 1942-43, which would be Guadalcanal. That was the first real defeat that the Japanese kind of faced against the Allies, the first real substantial defeat. But I didn't say land battle. I said which battle. And in 1942, we had the Battle of Midway, which was a carrier, sea, and air battle.
Yeah.
It was. And that was devastating. They lost tons of, it really crippled them as far as, movement through the Pacific. They lost almost, I think, all but one carrier. And not technically, you guys got that right. And while we're here, of course, you had to play the drop of boom, you know, and you shouldn't. I wanted to let you, and I did call back in and say, you guys got that damn question right. So you have gotten a World War II question correct.
Thank you. We'll take that now.
Exactly.
We'll just take that now. Thank you.
I'll take it whenever I can get it.
There you go.
Mark.
I got loads of stuff. I don't know.
You don't?
Looking through right now.
Surprise time?
Going through the
a little bit surprise time. Seth missed one or two of my trivias, so I might be able to scrape together some questions for my last couple trivias.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Might be my saving grace.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll let you know what categories I'm going to
get my ass whipped
about.
Please.
Got a classic also known as World Records. Mark. I have a scales question for you.
I thought you were going to say Steely Dan.
No, I'm sorry. It's your other favorite. Scales, okay. Measurements, yeah, like Dragonhide or anything like that.
right.
But actually, measurement scales. Missing band members.
Okay.
And U.S. history.
Hey, now.
U.S. history.
Love that.
But before we get to that, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up?
Yes.
Okay, on Monday, our 289th pub quiz went to Elise and Sean, playing under the name Never Trust a Fart at Palace Pub and Wine Bar, with an impressive 100-point even victory. Damn. Three Girls Wine Cup and White Claw Boofin came in second and third place, respectively.
Sorry, guys.
It's all good. Dallas and Joe from the We Do Stuff podcast were playing under the name 1912 Titanic Swim Team, and they performed well on our bonus quiz, but in the end, we're our biggest learners of the evening and have selected next week's final wager category, so we'll see how they do there. On Wednesday, we had No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 290 at Point of Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers. Round one saw Yikes take the lead, who made room for Yinzers at the top for round two. House Snow was able to secure the third round, and the overall prize went to Mango Me Crazy with 79 points. One trivia night, four different winners. That's what we like to see. Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday night?
It was an interesting one, Lee. So we had this team that showed up. They were about six members. And they went by the team name the Gubernaculum, which they kept telling me to look up. Do you know what this is?
Oh, no. I thought they made it up. I hope. What is it? What did I just say is cool?
It is, I believe, it is a part of the testes and the nutsack. I believe that has something to do with the dropping of the testes.
Important.
Indeed.
Very.
And this team...
I'd like to shout out TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool for helping me with my gubernaculum. What is it?
Gubernaculum?
Gubernaculum.
Did they drop your balls?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That record sounded pretty hot.
It did.
Yeah.
That sounds like a yes.
Yes.
Sounds like a yes to me.
Red Light Special.
So this team shows up, and they were getting perfect rounds and almost perfect rounds where they shouldn't be get. Perfect rounds.
Really? Perfect rounds. Well, Mark, they know what the gubernaculum is. I mean,
now I asked one of the waiters, or one of the servers, I should say, at Nice Guys, do you think this team is cheating? So, well, we don't know. They're in the medical field, but like something just seemed their body language was off.
What? Their body language was off. These stories, they're all the same. You have the suspicion, and then you never confront them about it, and then you just change the points.
But what do I do about... If I confront them, do you think they're going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, we were cheating?
It's happened. That happened to me once at Gather. I think I talked about it on the podcast. They were like, yeah, we were looking it up. We couldn't help ourselves. And I went, no, you can't do that.
So I was on Zoom with... Let me think who was on there. There was Mike and Abby. Proverbial or not proverbial, it's Rumble Snailskin, Mike C, and Abby. There was Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt. There was who am I missing? Oh, Whiskey Tango,
of course,
and somebody else too, I believe. And my question basically to them was like, what do you think? Like, I went to them. I went to the listeners of the no-no. I went to...
They're not even in the room!
Well, I mean, but I can't explain fully. I guess I could, and I could just not ask you these questions later on. But there were questions where it was, like, really fucking hard questions.
Oh, you should tell us now, then. Yeah. Don't save... I don't want to answer hard questions on the podcast.
Of course you don't.
I was there live.
You know.
They were fucking hard.
Okay.
And they were tough ones. And they were, like... They were just doing stuff. I've been doing this a long time.
It's the adjustment of the score without the confrontation that rubs me the wrong way.
I understand that it's not
like
a popular
you have to
opinion.
Pay. The price for you is like that you have to confront them, and then the price that they pay for cheating is the point reduction. You know,
if they own up to it, but I think most cheaters won't.
Well, you know you can ask secondary questions. You know how to do this, Mark. Like you said, you've been doing this a long time.
So this is what I did.
Okay.
I took them and I gave them the same score as the next closest team.
He never reduced
for a tiebreaker.
Okay, but it wasn't a tie though. They won.
They won.
Okay.
But I think they cheated.
But you never found out.
Like I said, I really don't think they would have admitted to it.
I just feel they're just based on principle. This is feel, just an unethical quizmaster thing
feel,
to be doing.
I
man.
Don't feel great about it either. But I asked everyone that was playing, and they had nothing because, you know, I
yeah,
said,
they were losing, so they were like, yeah, take their points.
Well, they don't. That's the thing. They had nothing to win or lose because they're playing from home. They're not going to win anything. So there is no, and like even Whiskey Tango was like, well, you know, we got a perfect round, and I was like, yeah, but you have nothing to gain from it. You know, even if you are cheating, there's nothing for you to, like, win or lose from it. This team does. And...
They heard you say that now, Mark. Now they're going to start cheating.
I mean, they
well,
don't need
it.
To.
We got nothing to gain.
Like, them and Proverbial Lake, your man, all those people, like, you know. And they'll have, like, bad rounds, too. This team just... Ooh, it just... Am I wrong?
No, not on this one. They were three sheets to the wind.
They were also shit-faced.
Yeah. Yeah, they were gone.
And when I was like reading the last questions, there was like one guy in particular that was like making a big deal. And I'll mention this also. This is gonna be we're gonna turn this into the longest thing of all time. Sometimes I think when teams cheat, it's not the team, It may be a member of the team cheating and not owning up to cheating. It may be one person in particular who's like looking up answers because they want to like
there was a
look
ringleader.
Good to the group, look good to a woman, look whatever, like, and the rest of the team may not know. And I'm definitely not going to find out in that case. And there was one guy in particular who, like, I would read an answer and he'd like do these big stomps like, oh, I'm so brilliant. And it just, ah, man, it just... Lee, just trust me here.
All right. I mean, I got to take your word for it.
Like I said, I'm not saying I feel great about it.
I just think, you know, quizmaster to quizmaster, I think you should
talk to them. Yeah,
I would. I've done it. You know, it's not, you're right, it's not comfortable.
All I can do is go up and go, but, hey, you guys seem too smart. Are you guys too smart? And they'll go, yes, we're very smart. And I'll go, okie dokie.
I would say you could ease into it by going awful lot of correct questions there. You guys know using your phone's not okay, right? And yeah. You know that if I see anybody using your phone,
I did take points away.
And then they think, oh shit, now he's watching us.
I did do a just a reminder, no using cell phones. But you know, I know I've caught people before who have not owned up to it, who still sometimes come out and play. So, you know, I mean,
just yeah, for all you players out there, Marcus, he's just going to get you. You don't even know he's going to get you. He's just going to be moving your points around.
Exactly. I've caught people at trivia.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean,
just flat out, and people that I've seen at other trivias, you know, and I don't call them out. It's not my job. You know, it's not my job to do. I am known to let the quiz master know, but usually after somebody gets caught, they're not showing back up. They're not, you know, and it's pretty.
It's never the regulars that do it. Well,
it's pretty.
Mark says sometimes, apparently.
I don't know.
There's a specific player that has come more than once.
But you're not going to name names.
No.
All right. Fair enough. So did the Gubernacular win? Or what's their name? The Gubernacular?
Gubernaculum.
Gubernaculum. The ball droppers.
There were some points added to Seth and Elise's team, the next closest. And they did a tiebreaker. And it was Elise.
Wait. So you didn't deduct points, you gave another points teams? Or and you gave another team points?
Yep.
To raise them up? You gave free points to a team that didn't earn them?
Well, I mean, I just basically... No matter what the amount was.
Oh my gosh.
Two teams were going to go neck and neck. I can barely
take this, Mark.
I know. I'm sorry.
If it makes you feel any better, we weren't that far off.
So who did you pick as the winner?
Well, the team that won the tiebreaker.
You're like a state electoral board right now. You're just like getting calls from people, adding points. Count them again.
I need you to do the right thing. Right. And just switch those electoral votes right over.
You know how important the game is. We can't let the game exist with cheaters.
I fired this point counter and hired another one and asked him, will you do the right thing? So the next closest team was Seth and Elise. And Elise won.
Wait a minute. What was our
after
name
the given after being given free points?
Yes.
She won.
Yeah.
Wow. So she didn't even have to bother looking at her phone.
Or without deducting points.
No.
I
mean,
if you want to say, I could just say I deducted points from the other team. At the end of the day, their team's name was Lindsey Graham called Mark and told him to throw out our wrong answers.
How appropriate.
So if I had done that, I know. Tell me.
Oh my God. It's like fucking Nostradamus over there.
Yes. Proverbially, Keeper Matt with 54 points at the end of the night. Usual suspect, 28 points. Guilty of being Mike C, with Abby, 15 points. And Whiskey Tango with 81 points.
Mm. Yes. Okay, nice squad there.
Very.
Well, on Thursday on Twitch, we had our most active night since, it's been months. We had 40 players for one of our quiz, 40 concurrent players,
Jesus.
Which was nice. We had another double header on our hands. This time it went to Grantastic Glenn, who widened the gap between himself and H-Bomb and Friends at the top of our all-time biggest knowers leaderboard. Glenn winning Twitch number 93 with 93,757 points and 94 with 137,283 points, respectively. Apple 30309, Whiskey Tango DC, H-Bomb and Friends, and Mark Davis all performing well in those quizzes. Mark, you actually had the top spot for most of the second quiz.
I did.
And then that French round came around. Mm-hmm. And you had... did you answer any of those, or were you trying to coast through?
No, I answered a couple of them.
Okay, because the coast strategy I found works sometimes.
I knew the
sometimes.
French Stewart one. Mm-hmm. I can't remember all the questions off the top of my head.
Yeah, but French language, some. French people, French pastries. That one was difficult.
Mm-hmm. French Stewart from Third Rock?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was what was his first film role?
And what was it?
In 1994.
Stargate.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep. But we had some other answers good in there, movie. Like Dumb and Dumber. I could see him being in Dumb and Dumber. Thank you. But yeah, we capped off our evening with a Shreds audio round. Basically, name the original artist or group being covered poorly. Very fun. Very funny to listen to laugh right. Safety Ninja took that quiz with 110,311 points. 311, baby. Mm. Followed by Tiffany Moko and Lavitz.
I have to ask, did you use the Creed Shreds?
No.
I guess you can't use that because they're not actually doing a song. It's just him.
I try to find ones that are close to the song. So right. You can kind of tell what you're hearing, mm-hmm. you know, because there is a segment of Shreds, which is just like, we're just going to make ridiculous noises based on what we see.
I think that's my favorite Shred.
Oh, yeah. They're great. But for our audio rounds, it's just not going to work.
There's another one.
You're like, what is this? And this is a guy going, "Hoo!"
Yeah.
Hmm.
Bang,
I mean, maybe
bang.
You know that's Creed. Yep, Jesse J.
Yes. Oh, Jesus, that one's excellent.
Yeah, we didn't do that this week. So this was our second one. We had another one, and we had 10 new songs this time. So, yeah, you can go on our Twitch channel and look at the highlights for that. And if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. Tonight, Monday, November 20... I didn't change the dates here. What date is it on Monday?
Come on, man.
Monday's the 22nd.
Thank you, Seth. Monday, the 22nd. We'll be back at Palace Pub and Wine Bar for live trivia, asking live trivia questions about The Office, Disney, horror movies, college football, board games of the 80s, music of the 90s, and more. Join us at 7:30 p.m. to play trivia and have a chance to win some free bottles of wine. Then on Wednesday, November 24th?
No, Monday's the 23rd, Wednesday's the 25th.
I was gonna say, I think today is the 20th.
Yes, I'm sorry, I got my numbers off, sorry.
So Wednesday, November, whatever, we're back at Point of Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida. Categories for that quiz will include Thanksgiving, 70s cartoons, retro video games, Harry Potter, the NFL, food, and more. That starts at 7:30 p.m. at Point E Bell. More details in the show notes for that. And if you're in the Cape, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesday.
What up, what up?
At Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral or on Zoom starting at 8 p.m. You can check the show notes for this episode for the link to that. In observance of the Thanksgiving holiday, there will be no trivia on Twitch this Thursday. As always, though, you can visit twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia. Give us a follow to get a notification for our next live stream, which I'll tell you right now will be December 3rd. So mark your calendars. And please follow us on social media to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
Excuse me.
Jesus
I broke
Christ.
Down there in the middle of that.
He's digesting something. It sounds like you're digesting a brick over there like an ostrich or something, Lee.
I've had a couple of beers. I don't know about any ostrich, but again, those rocks. Wings, man, those wings were good.
They
I
were.
Just got a little bit of key lime dust. Coming
ooh,
back up.
There you go.
Garlic, key lime.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a little break, and then we'll come back with trivia in round one. Right, we're back. Mark, if you wouldn't mind doing the honors of bestowing a fine, fine trivia question to me and Seth.
I wouldn't mind at all. Here's your first question.
On two players.
What Asian country is the largest producer of cotton?
Oh, shit. Mm. Well, there was a time that it was easily the United States, and then... Let's talk about that. Well, I mean, it's just...
not an Asian country.
Right.
Also not an Asian country. Okay. All right. So we'll just jump on out of this hemisphere and head on over into the other. Now, what country? Okay, you got to have hot weather for in order to produce cotton. It does not. It does not grow in cold weather. You got to be below that. That certain.
Maybe India.
Maybe India. India could be one.
China. There's a lot of land.
There's a lot of land, and it is warm. It's warm in the southern parts. That's for sure. It's very warm.
Those are two big countries right there.
Mm-hmm.
What's the third biggest in Asia? Well, I guess Russia. But
Russia's number one, biggest, and then two would be China.
But Russia's very cold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
Do you think northern. They're growing cotton in Russia?
Not at all.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so India and China. Here's the thing. India, the population's a little more spread out. China, you have 90% of the population lives on about 10% of the land. I know that sounds crazy, but just there on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the interior portion of China is vast, and there's not much of it. You know, I mean, and there's not, it's not very, it's not super populated like the coast is.
So are you saying that there's more room for cotton fields in those locations?
I think that would be, I'm not sure, but I know that the population is more spread out in India as opposed to China.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that. You know, you have well over, I think it's 1.45 billion for, or closer to four in China, and then only about 1.1 or 2 billion in only about in India. So, and it's smaller. It's India is considerably smaller than China.
I wonder if it's one of another smaller country though that maybe has like a huge textile industry. You know,
like in Malaysia
or Vietnam or.
I don't think Vietnam.
No.
No. Well, I mean, you do have Vietnam is mountainous in the north, not mountainous, but hill country in the north, and then delta in the south. You know, it's real muddy, and there's not much of Vietnam. Thailand is pretty big, but not really. And but these are not places that they're, you know, exporting massive amounts of cotton. I think it's probably going to be one of the bigger. It's either China or India, one or the other.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are leaving out Middle Eastern countries, which are technically part of Asia, or even Turkey. You know, Turkey's part of, there's portions of, well, there's a European part of Turkey as well.
Yeah, those are those
I don't think it's Turkey.
Those transcontinental countries is what they call it. Yeah. Those pantrans. I was going to say pancontinental.
Transcontinental.
Transcontinental.
Yes. Yeah.
All continents. I'm pancontinental.
Pan-continental. Kazakhstan is another one that's, you know, a portion of it's in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Very small part of
Morat
it.
Morat, too.
We do know that there is quite a bit of land in Kazakhstan.
There is a lot of
largest
land.
Largest landlocked country.
A lot of savanna in Kazakhstan that, you know, it probably, does it get hot
a
enough there?
A lot of those
there?
Stands. Uzbekistan, Afghanistan. Could it be Afghanistan?
No, it's not. No? They're not. They don't really. Ever since the, you know, the amount of wars, the amount of conflict there, you know, during the Taliban years, they're like, or right. I'm sorry, not during the Taliban, but right after that, I think their biggest export's been opium. Mm. You know,
yeah,
for quite a long time. So it's. I think it's got to be in a warm place. Southern portion of China is warm. It's either India or China. I'm thinking
they put the yum in opium.
let's go with India.
India.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
India.
India is our answer.
India is correct.
Woohoo! Yeah. Good job. Nice. Good call, Lee.
That was a clean sus.
Yeah. That was
that
very
was a
nice.
Clean sus.
Yes.
That right there is sus 101. If you wanted to be taken to school today, ding, 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 school's in session.
Oh.
Professor Lee and Professor Seth bringing it a sus 101.
I'd like to be a teacher's assistant on that one.
Yes.
All right. I have an also known as... For you guys, this is a bit of what I would say is like a classic stock trivia question.
Okay.
I just thought, you know, throw it off something easy right out of the get-go.
All right.
And I don't think we've ever specifically asked this. Maybe we have, though. Norma Jean Mortensen was the birth name of which Hollywood star who died on August 4th, 1962?
You know it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe.
We're giving the listeners no chance.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's pretty common knowledge, but maybe you didn't know that. And if you didn't know that, don't mistake that for a hard trivia question. Okay?
You know what?
Trivia.
It's.
I just feel like, I don't know, maybe we should have more easier questions on here.
Okay.
Slightly.
Maybe.
I don't know. I know that one was really easy for you guys.
That is a very, I mean, the Norma Jean, the Mortensen, I think, would throw some people off maybe a little bit, but Norma Jean is such a, I mean, that is just so synonymous with Marilyn Monroe.
I also think, though, it might be more difficult for a younger crowd. Like, I've definitely gone to trivia. You remember, Seth, the team that didn't know who the Beatles were at Bury Me Brewing?
Bury Me, yeah.
They would have trouble with that one, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, not only that, but people of my age specifically, and I know you guys from Fort Myers, we had Norma Jean's nightclub, which had the big picture of Marilyn Monroe or the big graphic of Marilyn Monroe on it. So, you know, and of course, I don't know if you guys remember this. Do you know who the manager, I think he was the owner of Norma Jean's was. Do you know that?
Diamond Dallas Page?
That is exactly correct. I used to see him walking around in front of his gigantic ass out in front of the parking lot right next to Page Field, walking around out there getting...
His namesake.
This is pre-Diamond Cutter. Yeah.
Page Field. Yeah. No, I don't. I think that's just a coincidence. But yeah, I did have another question for you originally. I should have probably asked you the harder one. Do you want the harder version of this question?
I'd like to.
I mean, you're
going
to know the answer. It's Marilyn Monroe. But the harder version that I had for you originally was... The Misfits, directed by John Huston, was the final film of which Hollywood starlet whose death is believed to have doubled the suicide rate in the month following her death, as well as increasing the expanding coverage of newspapers, not coverage, circulation of newspapers.
That is a great question.
Yeah, that's so that was that was one that I felt was good for you guys, but I didn't know, you know, I just thought,
hey. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, I love John Huston, asking these by the way.
Anyways, Seth.
Love John Huston.
I'm sure you have a little slightly more difficult question for us.
It's a little more difficult than that one. Here we go, guys. Angiosperms. I like saying it. Angiosperms first appeared on Earth 125 million years ago. They are plants that do what?
They help satisfy your gubernarculum.
Self-pollinate?
That would be some shit that you need at the early times.
That's what I'm thinking.
Now, where there's not a lot of plants around. You're like in barnacle mode.
I mean,
all your mates are far away.
The word sperm is used.
Mm-hmm. And Android is...
Angio.
Angio.
That is a prefix that I am not familiar with.
Isn't there something related to the heart? Angio? Like an angioplasty?
Yeah.
It's like you're rebuilding.
I need to get an angiogram. Angiograph? I don't know what it's for, though. You put sperm in your heart. That's what these plants do. They come
put
in
a
your
little
heart.
Bit. Put a little bit of sperm in your heart now.
What I need you to do is bukkake my heart. Fill my left atrium.
That's when you're really in love.
Just let it pump through my blood.
Gunk it up.
Gunk, gunk, gunk it up. Gunk, gunk, gunk it up.
You got that wet-ass atrium.
Wow.
Wow, wet-ass vernacular.
Oh, man. Mark, your joke about your name in the Mario universe, your evil mark is Wark. According to Wario rules.
Did not get as much love as I was hoping.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You should have a Mario.
You know, sometimes I fight when there's stuff like that. I'm like, should I put this on Twitter? Is this a little too weird for my Facebook? But I have like four friends on Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll just cast the bait out in Facebook and see what happens. And that one did not get... too much traction, but yeah, I was happy
that might have
it.
Even been a fleet. I don't know.
Well, I liked it.
I think it deserved.
And you know
tweet
what? That makes it. You know what? I'll tweet it right now.
Tweet it.
All right.
Tweet it. But first, we need to answer this question.
Yes.
Angiosperm, self-propagating plant.
I mean,
self. What did you say? Propagating?
No, I said self.
Pollinating.
Pollinating. Yes.
Hmm.
I mean,
I do remember what, you know, in science class, I can't remember if it was chemistry or biology. No, I'm just kidding. Biology in biology class when they were talking about plants, they're like,
it was sunburn class.
The teacher was like, did you know plants fuck? And I was like, what? I'm like, yeah, there's dude plants.
And you were like, come again.
Plants.
And she was like, they do.
So that would make sense for them to have angiosperms.
I've heard that term.
If it
before.
Is what we think it is, let's go with it. Self-pollinating plants. right? That's our answer?
I think so.
It's not really correct.
Okay.
That's not incorrect.
Sorry about that. Not really.
That was not simple, really correct. Yeah, the simple, well, there correct. Are angiosperms that are self-pollinating. Mm. But the real, the terminology that I'm looking for is they flower. That's the simple answer. If you would have said a flowering plant. But what those flowering plants do is that they eventually create from the flower and pollination, a seed is formed in what's called a carpel, or what could be, identified as an ovary. It's right. Flowering plants. Now, before that time, there was another thing called a gymnosperm, and those were seeds that were formed in unisexual cones known as strobili. And these plants lack fruits and flowers. Plants that we actually have here in abundance in Florida, like cardboard plants. I don't know if you know what that one is.
Mm-mm.
But that's another
cardboard
one.
Plant.
We have a thing. It's called a cardboard plant. It goes back to the age of dinosaurs, and they're amazing. They, you know, that you can tap on them on the leaves, and they feel this is, you know. But yeah, the short answer is an angiosperm is a flowering plant.
Okay, good to know. Angiosperm.
Mm-hmm. 125 million years ago.
Bless them.
Bless them.
Bless
them and their seeds and their sperms.
Mark.
Here's your next question. What technology company? No, I'm the good version of me. What technology company had a third founder named Ronald Wayne who sold his 10% stake for $800 in 1976?
Apple.
That's Apple.
Wozniak, yeah, Jobs, and who?
Ronald... Ronald Wayne.
What was this gentleman's name?
Ronald Wayne.
Ronald Wayne.
And what year? Hold on. What year was it?
1976.
The timeline and the number and everything just has to line up with. There had to be some dipshit.
And this question,
yeah.
Just knowing how Mark writes questions, like Wozniak and Jobs are known as like a duo.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
remember and them, even though they weren't at the end
fantastically
you know.
Rich.
Yeah,
yeah. So
and also. This is so juicy to have a third partner that just threw it all away for $800. You said
$800.
Oh my god!
Two or three months rent maybe in the 70s.
Ronald Wayne.
Let's go with Apple.
Forever associated with the sound of kicking yourself. Ronald Wayne was from Apple. That's who we're gonna say.
That's correct.
Yeah, Apple's gotta be.
Nice.
Gotta be.
Oof! If ever there was an oof,
yes,
it would be for that.
Ronald Wayne.
Is he still alive?
Ronald Wayne. Probably not.
No.
He probably
started drinking. They
probably jumped off of a bridge.
Have they found him from his hiding yet?
Steve Jobs is like, the iPod. And he's like, no, 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 no!
Not again! I wonder if his neighbors knew what he did. Like, he's out there mowing his lawn, and they're like, that's the guy! He's the fucking one! Could have been Wozniak or Jobs.
No, I grew up in an orchard. It wasn't technology. I swear.
My cousin Bruce stole all of my money.
World records. World records, your next category. Who set a Guinness World Record in 1996?
Jackal.
With 85 costume changes. The most ever for a character in a single film. Who set a Guinness World Record in 1996 with 85 costume changes? The most ever for a character in a single film.
For whatever reason. Oh.
What was big in 96? I'm sorry, I was drunk that whole year. I was.
It's the money.
You were drunk for that whole decade.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
When did Master of Disguise come out?
Is that the one with... No, I'm thinking of
Dana Carvey?
Kilmer. Yeah. Not...
You know when that came out, Mark.
Turtle.
That would have been around
there's a famous piece of trivia about that movie that tells you what date.
Is there?
They observed a moment of silence for 9/11.
Oh,
okay. So obviously,
you know that,
thank
right?
Thank you, Quizmaster, for discounting
the
that
turtle
one for
scene.
Us.
The turtle scene. You knew that, didn't you?
I never watched that movie.
But you didn't know that trivia?
No.
Oh my gosh! I thought you did. I thought that was common knowledge trivia. I should ask that instead of the Norma Jean question. Yes, when he was in the turtle costume, they got the news, and he stood there and gave a moment of silence and respect, dressed as a giant absurd turtle.
Absurdle.
An absurdal.
Yeah. it's obviously not Master of Disguise. Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just,
yeah, no, that's, like, no, no. Is, no I mean, I'm really, genuinely. 96, what came out in 96?
I was 16. Damn. I didn't think of a movie where there would be that many costume changes.
What was that Val Kilmer movie where he like changed faces all the time? But I don't think that's it. It was like the prince, not the prince, but the, oh, that's not it. Let's just discount that right
Could
now.
Could it be Face Off?
No.
If they count going back and forth between John Travolta's clothes and Nicolas Cage's clothes. Leather jacket, blazer, leather jacket, blazer. I can eat really a peach for hours. I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave. Quick change. Normal guy stuff.
Get together and go through our wardrobes. You and me. I don't know. 96. What came out in 96?
Break that bad boy open. Get a clean sound.
It was after.
Ooh.
A little spray on that one.
Relate Daddy. Everything to. You need a napkin.
I'm good.
I'm going to borrow my shirt.
That's what shirts
Don't worry
for.
About me.
Yes.
Don't Here, worry let me about take me. Worry about this off. Question. Can I hear the question one more time after you're done pouring that beer?
Who set a Guinness World Record for most costume changes for a character in a single film in 1996?
Who? It could be a woman, too.
Yeah, of course. Of course. See, if he was gonna talk about, like, you know, live concerts, I'd say like Cher or Reba McEntire, but no, he's asking about movies. So, okay. So 94 was Pulp Fiction. 95, I'm thinking of the big movies of those years. 95 was what? 96.
We're still a couple of years before Titanic.
Yeah, we're 1 year before Titanic.
I thought Titanic was 99.
I thought it was 97.
Oh, maybe it was 97. You're right.
I'm not sure.
I think you're right.
I'm not sure.
I don't know why I was saying 99.
Man.
Oh. Eddie Murphy?
That was, yes. Like that's the Clumps
or whatever?
Is that the second Clumps? No. That was Nutty Professor. Nutty Professor came out, I think, in 96. That's a good call, Mark.
I mean, right now it's the best I've got.
Let me give you the question one more time.
Okay, that's not it.
Who set a Guinness World Record in 1996 with 85 costume changes, the most ever for a character in a single film?
For a character?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's asking for the character.
Well, I'm asking for the actor, but I just want to clarify it is for the one character. It's not like...
They weren't playing multiple characters. Yes. It was one character that dressed in a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that clarification. Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
See, we're going to kick ourselves when we hear this if we don't get it right. Because we've probably seen the movie, whatever it is.
1996. There's a character who wears a bunch of different costumes. Or a bunch of different looks. 96 is probably around the time Billy Madison came out, or...
Mm-mm. Billy Madison, yeah. Happy Gilmore was 94, 95. Billy Madison was right after that. You're right. That was like 96, 95
or 96. I'm not necessarily saying it's him, but I'm just trying to like place it time-wise still.
I don't think it was... Yeah. Or even that movie.
Waterboy
was 96, but that's not it. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm having a hard time remembering movies from that year.
What was that movie with Tom Hanks and Halle Berry?
Swordfish?
Sci-fi no. movie. Lee, do you know what movie I'm talking about?
Swordfish was Travolta.
Which one? It's not the answer.
Sorry, one more time.
The movie with Tom Hanks and Halle Berry.
Tom Hanks and Halle Berry?
I'm really drawing a blank.
I'm pretty
on
sure
that one.
Maybe it wasn't Tom Hanks.
Tell me something that happened in it.
It's like
Catwoman.
It's like a an epic movie.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It is Tom Hanks and Halle Berry. Cloud Atlas.
That.
Yes, oh, that was Cloud in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm. I know, but it just made me think because they like play characters like throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me think of that.
It's like a 4.5 hour movie, right?
That fucking part where he's like the bad bad.
The or bad, whatever. Bad.
The no no. I wish if it says no no, we gotta fucking gank that shit.
Yeah.
Put in our intro. Damn, dude. What character? Think of a character who looks different. I'm even trying to think of like a like for some reason a Saturday Night Live movie. Like that is like what that's like what's coming to mind. Like
Pat
for me.
Or something.
Yeah, it's Pat was earlier though, I think.
It's Pat always being mentioned here.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's Pat's come
it's
up like
three
or four times.
It's such a tasteless, you know, idea this day and age. Yeah.
Talk about instantly canceled. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
That and Soul Man. Somebody said, what two movies should never be remade? And I said, Soul Man and It's Pat. Do not remake those.
Yeah.
And
the other thing is, Soul Man. The fact that It's Pat. The
word
it's yeah. And here's the thing. It's like, oh, you'd say, oh, it's Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that in It's Pat.
Right.
That it doesn't just mean like, oh, we're talking about it.
They're
means,
talking about gender.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not implicit, mm-hmm. but it's like.
That's the whole, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah.
And that's the whole offense of it is that it's a joke. It's been reduced to a joke.
I thought it was offensive from all that khaki.
Looked like a.
Who wore a bunch of different costumes in a movie?
She looked like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah.
Or a Garbage Pail Kid.
Or that.
Yeah.
Just throw a little throw up on
who wore a bunch of different I don't know, man.
What character?
Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. I don't know. did they do a bunch of change? Was it Julie Newmar?
Let's go with
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I know when he says it, I'm gonna kick myself. From my reclined position right now.
For
those of you that don't know, I'm leaning back really far. I don't know.
You have that gangster lean sound hooked up?
I do.
I don't know which one it is. It's a crapshoot.
It's a game of Russian roulette.
That's Willem Dafoe.
Close enough.
That's great.
Close enough.
Let's say Julie Newmar. I don't know.
No, Julie Newmar.
Can you think of anything else? I don't know. And I don't even know if that was the year that movie came out.
I cannot shake the feeling that it's a Saturday Night Live movie. I don't know why I can't shake that feeling.
Well, who made Saturday Night Live movies then? I mean, you know, other than it's too early for Chris Kattan and Will Ferrell. It can't be
Let's. You know what we should say?
Who? What?
Let's say Rob Schneider.
Okay. Rob Sounds Schneider like Rob as Deuce Bigelow, but that's...
I say Rob Schneider. I don't know.
That's wrong.
Motherfucker!
Yeah, it's coming.
Madonna in Evita.
Oh,
Madonna
I would
is the
never
answer.
Have known that.
Never, ever.
85 costume changes. I guess a ton of continuity errors, basically. No, it was intentional. 39 hats, 45 pairs of shoes, and 56 earrings. Costume designer Penny Rose won a BAFTA award for her work. I think she should have the record, though, right? Shouldn't the costume designer
get
that? No? All right. Yeah, well, she did change. Because, I mean, I don't know.
No.
Costume changes, if you're, like, in a live environment, I think that's really impressive. Because you're on a time limit. But when you're making a movie, you can change into and out of costumes. Like, I don't know. I don't see what the big deal is.
Think about how many of those outfits could have been given to poor Argentinian kids. Instead of, hey, Madonna, let's just indulge your costume change fantasy on film.
Well, I don't know that it was her call in particular. I mean, this was a big musical.
It's
remember?
Madonna we're talking about.
Yeah, but you know this was a big musical. So it was already like in, you know, lots of splendor and stuff like that. The record still does stand officially, but it's thought that Robert De Niro might have taken it with an estimated 101 costume changes in The Irishman. So they are looking into that, apparently. Mm. So we might have a record change on our hands at some point, but right now, as of this record date, Madonna holds the record.
It's Evita.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say the character is Eva Perón.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Did she, like, was she trying to set that record?
I don't know that it was intentional. I didn't read too much about it. The Guinness site was being really slow today.
Get Ciccone on the phone.
Yeah.
Find out if she was behind all
this.
If
there's any Madonna fans that have extra info about this, you know, please feel free to write in.
Drop us a line. Go on the Facebook group.
MLS.
Seth, a question, if you don't mind.
We are here. The concert for Bangladesh was a pair of concerts in August of 1971. There were two of them. They were recorded as Madison Square Garden. It's done by, set up by George Harrison. First time he got back together with old Ringo since the Beatles. They were recorded for a triple album that was released eventually in 1972 to raise proceeds for the victims of what event?
Ooh, good question.
Well,
puts down his phone gingerly.
We know that the guy from High Times got involved after the fact because all that money was raised and he went to Wall of Sound, Phil Spector's office and started throwing rotten fruit at him because the money was not going to the Bangladeshi people. For what event? You said what event?
The victims of what event?
Earthquake? Monsoon? Is Bangladesh a coastal? Entity? Is it a city? Is it a country? I don't even know, Mark. I don't know.
Concert. You know, something tells me it was like a... You could very well be right, but my mind immediately went to, like...
A fire?
Some kind of war or something.
You think conflict? Some conflict?
Yeah, maybe I'm like confusing them with like the Nepalese. Maybe it was an earthquake.
I don't know where that came from. It's just a gut.
You know, got a gut.
I don't feeling. Think it's not a random guess. It's
got
a gut guess.
Feeling. You got a gut. Feeling. Been listening to a lot of Devo lately.
Got an unresistible urge?
It's close. Uncontrollable, urge.
God damn it.
Robert, when I start listening to... When I start
it's listening an unrelatable of, urge.
When I start listening to a lot of Robert Plant, my urge will be simply irresistible.
There you go.
Bangladesh. Them going to war with China or something?
No, I think it's a natural disaster.
Homeboy who set himself on fire. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What was that about?
This is Rage Against the Machine cover photo shoot.
It's like the cover of a Vulgar Display of Power. It's like, but instead of getting jacked in the face, this guy's gonna self-immolate himself. Dude, it's gonna suck, but that cover's gonna be so sick. Just please make sure you like have your settings right because woof.
Yep. And that's what they wrote Sleep Now in the Fire about. I think it's
because they thought he was asleep for a while.
Hey man, wake up.
No, wake up now in the fire. Hey, wake up in the fire. Wake up now in the fire.
I can just see their manager.
Tom Morello wants a guy on fire. Get me a monk.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, that was too funny. Oh, shit.
That was about... wasn't that about Tibet? Wasn't that...
I guess that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I guess I'm, like, conflating that. Mm-hmm. Let's say earthquake.
Okay, earthquake.
We're going to say earthquake.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
My gut was wrong.
Yeah, you guys should have gone with your first one. If you just would have said war, that would have been totally fine. It was the,
are you kidding?
It was the Bangladesh Liberation War.
Oh, okay.
Now, Bangladesh was part of a country that was not near it.
Oh, really?
What country do you think that was, Mark?
China.
No. It's actually a little closer than the country that we're going to war with. What was Bangladesh called?
I'm glad he's asking you.
Well, this was inspired by a Mark question.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
What was another name for Bangladesh?
Oh, East Pakistan.
Exactly.
Of course.
Oh. Went to war for liberation, and there were many, many refugees seeking, well, refuge from the war, mm-hmm. and it was to benefit them. Now, it is coastal. And they have had many monsoons and some of the most disastrous in the world where tons and tons of people have died. But in this specific case, the concert for Bangladesh was for refugees of the Bangladesh Liberation War. Now, you guys had brought up the guy on the cover on the cover of the Rage Against the Machine record.
Yeah,
I do actually know exactly what that is. I don't know if you remember this or not, but French Indochina, also known as Vietnam, they were originally colonized by the French. And Buddhists would often protest the occupation by lighting themselves on fire. And what you were looking at was a Buddhist monk in Vietnam.
Oh, okay. So not Tibet. From,
no. And now I'm smelling like Indochina, bus stop full of fly bitches and ginas. Oh. It's got to rhyme with China.
Oh, right. Okay.
So bitches and ginas.
I see. You modified it.
Apostrophe G-I-N-A.
I didn't mean to step over your reference there.
It's okay.
There.
Hey.
All right. Well, let's take a little break.
Yes.
And then...
This episode's already clocking in at 2.5 hours. Sorry.
We'll be back in just a moment in round two with some more trivia. Back this week, no miscorrections. We had no rate my question last week. This week, no miscorrections. Hey, so we were just perfect.
We must be
basically
doing something right.
Yeah. But we do have some great rate my questions coming up in the third round. So stick around for that.
Yes.
But first, just some plain old questions we're not going to rate. We're just going to ask them to each other. I will go first.
Please.
This time. Mm. I will be asking you a question about scales. It's time for a scales question. The Mohs scale, M-O-H-S, the Mohs scale is used by scientists to measure what? I wrote this in your style, Mark.
Doesn't give us a lot just to work with up. There. I guess it's one of those, you either know it or you don't. I think you look like you know it.
I mean, there are a lot of scales in the world. Please understand me. Seth, please understand.
I'm going to try to understand you.
And God damn it if my brain ain't just a hunk of coal. But I think that the Mohs scale is a scale for hardness.
You are a million-year-old carbon. And I think you're right.
I can't remember if it's a hardness for a certain thing or just hardness in general. Hopefully our quizmaster will be lenient on me if... Have you gonna seen that face?
Probably not, from what I can see.
But we'll start with hardness, and if he needs me to be more specific, we'll be more specific. But I think it's hardness.
Lee, you're gonna check his hardness.
We're gonna say hardness.
Hey,
yeah,
very good. Mineral hardness.
Mineral there hardness.
Specific rock hardness. Yes, talc.
That is where I would have gone.
We are star crossed.
Talc is a 1 on the scale. Diamond a 10.
You say talc?
Talc.
Talc?
Talc.
I think you mean talc.
Well, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
This is like tartar.
Let's talk this over.
And look, they do say, don't make fun of someone if they pronounce something wrong, because it means they learned it through reading.
Talc just seems like so much extra work. Talc.
It's like talcum powder.
Oh, I call it talcum powder.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
like the your wife's favorite band, talcum. Land of Talc.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Or
yeah.
Talc.
Yes, the hip-hand talc.
Yes,
the Mohs scale. Life. It's used in commercial settings as well as scientific. It's usually used roughly in the field by geologists, the Mohs scale for hardness. It's not perfect, but, you know, generally speaking, they can rate it on a 1 to 10 scale. It's ordinal. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also used in commercial settings. For example, Gorilla Glass uses the Mohs scale to determine what materials will scratch the surface of phones. So apparently an orthoclase feldspar will do the trick at a Mohs rating of 6.
Yeah, I drove over here on one of those.
Yeah, but you can, if you have some simple quartz on your hand, you're going to get some deep grooves with that quartz, because that is a 7, baby.
Groovy.
Yeah. Very good.
Welk like a man, talc like a man.
Can you apply the Mohs scale to stones like granite and limestone?
Of course you could.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Of course you could.
Limestone.
Limestone.
Yeah, I have some limestone. Some limestone.
Some limestone.
One.
All right, guys.
Yes.
Okay.
Seth, if you don't mind.
What about me? Question.
Absolutely. Oh,
we're going like this, right?
Well, we were going like whatever. This. Yeah, we're just rotating one off, I think. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straight to the point. This question is right here. Nino Brown was played by who?
What? Nino?
Nino Brown was played by who?
So earlier.
What?
When we were at trivia.
Uh-huh.
We talked about Chris. We talked about, not Chris Brown. We talked about Chris
Rock.
Rock.
Mm-hmm. You think that's Nino Brown from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka?
I think it's...
Because that's what we were talking about.
He did ask a question related to one of my questions. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who Nino Brown is. Sounds like it might be a black guy.
Could be. Could be New Jack City. We also talked about that.
Exactly. I mean, who played him? Maybe the guy that we were talking about earlier and talking about his acting career.
Could it be Jim Brown in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker? And his name is... I said sucker. That's so embarrassing. I'm going to get you, sucker. That's even more embarrassing than Tulk, to be honest.
Never go hard ER.
Yeah. Could it be Jim Brown?
It could be.
Because Brown, last name, like a slight name change.
Hey, Lee, could be.
Football player.
Could be.
But you think it's Chris Rock.
I think it might be.
But you're not leaning one way or the other.
I'm leaning slightly more Chris Rock.
Isaac Hayes also.
Also mentioned.
Mm-hmm. A pivotal scene in that movie. Chris Rock trying to get some ribs. A rib.
How much for just one
rib? In the film I'm Going to Get You, Sucker.
You know, I was going to mention that movie. The reason I was asking earlier when we were discussing I'm Going to Get You, Sucker. Was because that reminds me a lot of the sketch in Living Color. That's a lot of money. How much for da 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 da? Do you know of which I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Seth?
Are you talking about how much for just one rib?
Well, no, that's I'm talking about in Living Color. In Living Color. Like, where they'd say, how much is it for a slice of pizza? And they'd be like, $2. I'd be like, good lord, that's a lot of money.
It's the same.
How about if I give you 50 cent and you let me eat one pepperoni and lick the crust.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that it's the same bit, it sounds like.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
How much for a soda? $1.50. How about I give you 15 cents and you put it in my hand?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like very much the same concept. That's why I was wondering which came first.
The sucker
or the color. Yeah.
I do want to say this. Mm-hmm. Go watch the trailer for I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka. And they're actually doing what you're doing. They're anglicizing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have been perfect for that.
Once in a generation comes a movie... I'm Going to Get You, Sucker.
Yeah, because that's how all trailers were back then. Mm-hmm. They were like, they'd be like, Jim Brown and Chris Rock in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
But do you think it was self-aware, Seth, or do you think it was what Mark is saying, man, where it's just kind of like they hired...
That was the Wayans guy. Brothers. That was Keenan Ivory Wayans, they had to be man. Aware of and it. He's aware. Oh, that's the smartest guy in the world, man. He was great.
I thought back then, like, every trailer had the same, like, talk over.
The page. They did.
When I think of 1980s movies.
I'm Going to Get You, Sucker.
Yeah.
Like 90s movies in a world.
Yeah.
We came in strong with Chris Rock, but is the Brown thing, are they going to, is that a thing?
It could be, but I mean, So the last name's Brown.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to be Jim Brown, but he kind of wants to play himself
Jim Brown.
Hey, kids.
Well, this reminds me of when we were talking about Joey Lawrence, who played Joey in like 15 movies.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Joey. But it was his first name, not his last name.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jim Brown have a big role in I'm Going to Get You, Sucker?
Yeah, he was part of the main group.
Dude, I don't know. If you want to go with that, we can. But I know we were talking about Chris Rock in multiple movies.
I can't do this to you two turns in a row. Well, let's go with Chris Rock.
We're going
to
go with Chris Rock.
Damn. Sorry, that's incorrect. But you guys were so going the right direction with it, man.
Was it Jim Brown?
No, it was not Jim Brown. Woo! It was so bad. It was in the movie New Jack City.
Oh.
Chris Rock had the character Nino Brown look down at him and said, "You still sucking on that glass dick?"
Oh,
because it was about the rise and fall of the crack empire in New York City at the time, and Nino Brown was played by one Mister with the slee stack haircut, Wesley Snipes. Yes, that was Nino Brown.
Nino Brown, baby.
Nino Brown.
Okay.
You think that was what I used to hear all the time when I was a kid, when some kid, you know, would try to make a living in a nefarious way. You'd hear people say, "Oh, he thinks he's Nino Brown." You know, but he had that, Antonio Brown many years later copied that haircut from Nino Brown. Do you know which one I'm talking about? The ridge right down the middle. Mm-hmm, Mark, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That was from, and there's a really great, there's a great soliloquy by Wesley Snipes about his justification for making money off of his own people in a courtroom scene. That was such a good movie.
I've actually never seen New Jack City.
Is a fantastic movie. It's really good.
All right, I gave you guys some easy ones. Now it's time to turn up the fucking heat. Okay?
Let's go.
Okay. Scoville.
Here's a question. Down. Yes. Scoville, also a question at today's trivia.
From Sunburn University today.
In what season was it revealed that Kramer's first name is Cosmo?
That is a good damn question. Okay. So.
On Seinfeld.
On Seinfeld. Yes.
It
wasn't on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Lee. It was
Seinfeld.
We're gonna make it.
He was on Fridays too.
That's right, he was.
We'll take it.
But he played Kramer in Seinfeld.
Yes, he did, Lee. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that show very famously ran from either 89 or 90 all the way to, I believe it was 97 or 98.
Mm-hmm.
And the first season was kind of forgettable. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that was 90. So you had to go into, it's either going to be like, so 90 to 97, that's 7 or 8 seasons. I'm going to guess 7 or 8. I don't think it was until we were like 4 or 5 seasons in that we knew it. So it's either 4 or 5, I think.
Yeah. I was thinking something similar. I was thinking 3 or 4. You want to go with 4?
Let's go 4. Let's split in the difference. There we go. Let's do 4. 4 it is, Mark.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Damn!
The show ran from 1989 to 1998.
Oh, okay, so
it wasn't until the 6th season.
Ah.
The 6th season that we found out that Kramer's first name is Cosmo.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Good, I like that one. That's some good Seinfeld trivia.
That is good. That's very good Seinfeld trivia.
Missing band members. Now, you guys did very, very well on the last question that I asked you guys about the Aerosmith song.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Motown track. This is a little bit more Aerosmith trivia for you.
Oh, yeah.
What is the only Aerosmith record to not feature guitar by Joe Perry? Joe Perry, a founding member of Aerosmith. On every record except for one.
The whole record? Mm-hmm. He wasn't on it?
Mm-hmm.
You're not using record in like the term of like...
record.
One song.
No. I mean the album. What album? Record, the old-fashioned version of that. What album? Mm-hmm. Only Aerosmith album. Collection of songs to not feature guitar by Joe Perry.
Okay, I know it wasn't Toys in the Attic. I know it wasn't that.
I know it wasn't
Rocks. And those were, that was like 77 all the way up until like 80, 81. And then there was like a big gap between, like that era. There was one album that I'm missing that permanent was around. Vacation. No, it's not. He was on permanent vacation.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, but there's one like between that time, like 83 or 84, that's between Rocks and permanent vacation. And I don't know the name of it. It's like the one I don't know the name of.
Let me drop a name for you.
Go for it.
Honkin' on Bobo.
That.
It is a more recent album, but I know it featured a lot of harmonica. And I just have
the titular
this
Bobo.
Feeling. Well, yeah. I just have this feeling like that they wouldn't need lead guitar with Steven Tyler's gigantic gums spitting just gallons of fucking mouth juice into the old
Bobo.
Into the organ.
The old Mississippi what do they call it?
Mouth harp.
They have a bunch of funny names for
harmonicas. I guess. I know here's what I also
the
know
tin that sandwich.
There was a stretch in this from the early 80s to permanent vacation where they were all in rehab.
Right.
That like they were sense. All just living in rehab. And I can't think of it, so Honkin' on Bobo sounds like a pretty good...
I mean, it's definitely not Pump. It's definitely not...
Nope. I know he was on all of these.
Yeah, he was on all the 90s stuff.
He was on the first one, the Dream On. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that Dream On, I think it's just Aerosmith, like Eponymous. And then there's another one, and then Toys in the Attic. You know, Dream On came out in like 70, 71. And Toys in the Attic, I think, was like 75, 76. And then Rocks was maybe 78, 79. And then there was like a big gap. And
well, I mean, even if there was an album in there that he wasn't on, I don't think I know the name of it.
I don't either.
I'm trying to think of like what.
And your expression of there's a lot of, you know, harmonica. I don't know that record. That's like one record I don't know by them. And so I'm willing to defer to your better judgment and go with that.
We're going to guess Honkin' on Bobo.
Wrong. No, I'm sorry. It is 1982's. Rock in a Hard Place.
Rock in a Hard Place. Rock in a Hard Place. I remember that record.
Never heard of that.
And yeah, so Joe Perry left before the record started, and rhythm guitarist Brad Whitford left during recording and rejoined the band.
Very good time in for the Aerosmith universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Smithiverse.
Mm-hmm. And Steven Tyler was like, I don't care. Yeah, and then they came back for Done With Mirrors, which was their eighth record, their first on Geffen, mm-hmm. and Joe Perry and Brad Whitford returned.
Did they have any hit singles on that Rock in a Hard Place?
They did not. It was basically panned critically.
Didn't have Joe Perry.
And man. I, you know, I listened to it, and I could not tell the difference, to be honest. It sounded exactly like Aerosmith to me. You know, there wasn't anything like, you know, I wouldn't say that there was any great songs on it, but it didn't, you know, it didn't sound exactly like.
There was no Mama Kin.
Lacking a quality.
No Love in an Elevator.
No.
I remember it now that you're talking about it. I remember the name.
All right, damn. Seth.
All right. I got one here. This is my sports question for you guys.
Okay.
Sports.
I think this is pretty much going to fall right in the lap of Mark. I'm sorry, Lee. I'm not trying to leave you out on this one, but I had to get
it's
a
all
sports
good.
One.
It's fine.
Jack Murphy Stadium is the former home of what professional football team?
Who's Jack Murphy? Who's Jackie?
He said he thought it was gonna land directly in my lap. Mm-hmm.
Which no, might... no, I mean we would have to leave this one up to you because it's kind of a deeper sports question.
Yeah.
I thought you might know this one, though. I did think you would.
And you said it was the former name of the stadium of which NFL team?
It was the former name of which NFL football
team. Yeah, they used
team.
To have respectable names. Now they're like AT&T Park.
You're,
you know?
So just so I understand, was this the
Dr. Pepper Field?
Was this
Paging Dr. Pepper Field?
So when you're done,
go ahead.
I'm done.
Was this the name of their former stadium that was knocked down and a new one was built? Or was this the former name of the stadium they still play in?
It's written how it's written, Mark.
Thank you, Trucker Hat.
And then you just walk off.
Yeah.
I'll have you know I graduated from Phoenix Online.
us over here at
There's
Purdue.
Nothing wrong with graduating
in from baseball Phoenix studies.
Online. Yes.
Right.
How do I put this?
Was that the name of a stadium that was demolished or not?
No, it's okay. Still there.
Okay.
It is the former name and former home.
So it's a still standing stadium, but they don't play there anymore.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mark, right. Miami Dolphins. We know that Seth is a huge Finhead. Is that what we call you?
That okay. Has been a name bandied about.
All right. Yeah. Finhead.
Finheads against racial prejudice.
Farp.
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 Better watch out for the harps.
No, he's a traditional Finhead.
Yes.
He's not a Nazi Finhead.
Oh, God.
You can tell by the color of his boots and braces.
Yes. That should be a dead giveaway, Lee. I'm wearing the aquamarine braces.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is, of course, a reference.
Talk about them bringing
culture.
Back the old unis.
Oh, please, Jesus, please. All right, let us all join hands right now and pray.
Even I'll this be, even I'll real. Go in on that.
Oh, God. Yeah. Just the new ones are. I mean, I'm going to say the thing that you're supposed to say in that, as long as they win, I don't care what they're wearing. But Jesus Christ, they just look so goddamn sharp in those old uniforms. And we're talking about the Miami Dolphins throwback uniforms from the 70s, which they play in about six games a year, and they look so fantastic as opposed to the cartoon
Avenger
Jabberjaw
style.
Yeah, dolphin that's on their helmet now. It looks awful. It is the former home of an NFL team. It's still there. They don't play there anymore. It is also the former name of the stadium.
So Jack Murphy Stadium has now been renamed, and that stadium is now not used by this team. So it went from Jack Murphy Stadium to
with the information I've given you, it's accessible.
And then they left there and went somewhere else.
Well, do you know any teams that have moved around stadiums a bit? Like, maybe it's a Bay Area team? Like the Raiders or the 49ers?
So the Raiders, there's a stadium, and I can't remember what it's like, the Olympics. It's like some big stadium that was used for something that when... Oh, boy. When someone in California moved, they were using the stadium for a while.
So, like, a California team went somewhere else, like in another state or something?
Yeah, so some teams, and honestly, it's embarrassing that I don't know who moved where, but, like, a team moved to Las Vegas, a team moved to L.A., mm-hmm. An LA team
the Rams.
Moved somewhere else. So the Rams moved from St. Louis to LA.
Back to LA.
Back to LA. Mm. The Raiders or the Chargers are in Las Vegas now? Ugh, my brain.
The Raiders are in Oakland still, I believe.
They might be.
I mean, I don't watch football, but...
That might be the team, then. But there was, like, an old stadium that was, like... I keep wanting to say Olympic Stadium or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. But, like, it's an old stadium that they stopped using, and it could have been called the other thing and then changed the name, and they left it, and they went back briefly.
Jack also, Murphy a pirate? Like a historical pirate? Jack Murphy Stadium.
Captain Yar. Jack Murphy. Captain Jack's buried treasure, the famous Miller's Ale House dessert, one of the most best,
very famous,
one of the best desserts. Yes, I will if they want to advertise,
but they haven't.
Me, they are welcome to. Obviously, it could be the New England Patriots or it could be the Miami Dolphins because I am a Patriots fan and he's a Dolphins fan. Mm.
You would know that if it was Patriots, though, right? Mm-mm. You wouldn't?
No. I'm not that old, and I don't go that much into the history.
Okay.
Seth's eyes. Just,
I'm just.
He's like, I could have written an easier question with that knowledge.
No, no, I'm just.
Jack Murphy.
I just.
What is that?
You're just, as a Patriots fan, I'm like, you know, you're saying things that I'm like, oh man, there's such a history there.
Oh, I know.
There's such a history there.
I know there is.
And especially this, I don't want to give away this question.
Just let them talk.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'll just say this. It's not them. It's not the Patriots, because I want to say this. There's such a history of where they played in Boston. They played in Foxborough. You know, they have Gillette Stadium and all the fantastic. They've got one of the cooler stadiums in the fucking NFL, and they had that history in fucking Boston.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was really cool. Now that leaves 31 other teams that you can choose from. You know, it's right. Not that. Yeah. And I'm going to leave it there.
You want to go with the Raiders?
Let's go with the Raiders.
Oakland Raiders.
Damn, I thought you guys were going to get it. So fucking close. That's not it. All right. I'll give you a little hint here, Mark, and you might know it from this. It eventually became Qualcomm Stadium. You remember them? You remember who played there? It was the San Diego Chargers.
Man, I said the Chargers.
You did say the Chargers. You did. Yep. It eventually started as San Diego Community Coliseum, and then Stadium, San Diego Stadium. And then sports writer Jack Murphy was getting money together for sports teams in the area. He was a sports writer in the area, and they named it after him. And it was that from like 81 until 97, until, of course, a corporate buyout to change the name for advertising purposes is Qualcomm Stadium. Mm. But, you know, the Dolphins played, and that's part of where this came from, played a lot of really famous games against the Chargers. Even though they're not in the division, they had just some really, really great games. And they played them 2 weeks ago, and it was a really great game. And they played a lot of those games in Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego.
All right, the San Diego Chargers.
It's still standing there, but Mark was right. They are now the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh.
And you were actually really...
There's two LA teams? The Chargers and the Rams?
There are two LA teams. Okay. Yeah, 5 years ago, there were no LA teams. Right. St. Louis moved back to LA. They were in LA originally, and Los Angeles, and the Chargers were originally a long time ago also an LA team, and spent and then moved to San Diego in the 60s.
Wait, for Regina.
and the stadium that you guys were talking about, the one that you said was used for the Olympics, is correct. It was used in 1984 for the Olympics in Los Angeles. It was called, and both teams used it for the last 2 years that they have been in Los Angeles, called the Coliseum. Mm. It's where USC Trojans play.
That makes sense.
And it's a big, giant stadium. It's massive.
It's massive.
It's massive.
Are you ready for your next question?
We are.
Yep.
Calrophobia. Mm-hmm. Which affects 7.8% of Americans and has been depicted in The Poltergeist, The Brave Little Toaster, and Spawn, is the fear of what?
Okay, you've seen Spawn and you know Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, but I've seen Poltergeist quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie... The final scene of the movie is them grabbing a television and throwing it out onto the second balcony of a motel, and they were scared of the television.
But Poltergeist 1?
In Poltergeist, yeah. That's remember the little girl gets sucked into the television.
That's at a hotel?
Well, no, it's at the end. They leave. Of course, the house is built on an Indian burial right. ground. The thing, it starts to sink.
That's where the cliche comes from.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they go out there, and the lady falls into where the pool's supposed to be, and all the bodies float to the top, and
I
they
remember
freak
this.
Out. And they leave, and they get out there. They get the little girl back out of the weird room where everything's spinning around, mm-hmm. and the little old lady's, all are welcome. And she gets the little girl, and then when they leave there, they go into a... They go into a motel. It's the last scene of the movie. They stay in a motel together, and they take the television and they throw it outside. And they were, I'm guessing, they're scared of the television. But I can't imagine there
That's
being
a pretty iconic scene.
Greek word for fear of a television.
The picture screen. The tablet stone. No, they had paper, right? Didn't they have pay? They had paper by then.
Fear of media.
You know.
What about what, Spawn? Was there anybody, any character afraid of something?
You know what? Spawn and Poltergeist have in common. And what's the third movie?
Brave Little Toaster.
Brave Little Toaster. I don't really remember the plot details of that.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, Seth, I know the answer to this.
Oh, what is it?
I do. It's a fear of clowns. Calorphobia is a fear of clowns.
That's it. You're exactly right. That's it. Because the little boy, the clown, is underneath the bed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. I actually just happened to know that one.
The clown's under the bed. The kid's scared of the clown. That made me terrified to look under beds for a long, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
The kid looks under there and the clown's arms reach up and grab him.
So you had a little bit of it. Well, calorphobia.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Induced by that movie.
Induced by that movie. That movie came out in like 82. I was only like 8, and I saw it. It was like one of the first. You were having a conversation on one of the former No-No episodes about how you weren't a fan of horror movies.
Correct.
I am not either. I'm not a huge fan of horror movies. However, some of the movies that I love, probably my favorite movie, you know, I can't decide, is either Alien or Aliens, which are sci-fi horror. Mm-hmm. But
Don't tell Mike C. Yeah.
Speaking of Mike C, I want you to know the text message I got from him on the morning of the last No Nonsense trivia episode coming out. I like your description of why you don't like horror movies from the pod. What did I say? Horror movies do stuff to me. I just don't like the stuff they do to me. I'm really glad I was able to put a, you know, to put that so succinctly.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel things. I don't like the things I feel. The end.
Fair enough.
I guess that's all you need to know.
Oh, man. Yeah,
fair enough, man.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take another break, and then we'll be right back with the Rate My Question.
Very good.
Okay, we're back, and it's time for some Rate My Questions.
We should just do a fourth round.
A fourth round?
We're just having so much fun. I get so many questions.
I don't know. We'll see.
People like the long episodes.
I'm about to fall asleep.
Do you really?
Yeah. I see your tactic now. You're just trying to wear me down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know calorphobia? Fourth round.
He's going to pass out soon. We're going to get his fucking diamonds.
All right. We have two perfectly submitted Rate My Questions here. I just have to say thank you to Rumpel Snailskin Steve and Evan. They just did a standout job in sending us these questions. You'll see. First up, Rumpel Snailskin Steve says, here is a Rate My Question. Just heard on the podcast that there were no Rate My Questions this week, and I think you may want to check your spam folder.
Uh-oh.
I'm resending this from scratch in case it's being caught up somewhere, and removing the bit.ly link in case it is getting flagged somehow. Hope this one reaches you. Steve, thanks. I did look in the spam folder. I did not see anything there either, so I don't know what's going on, but we did get this one. So your tenacious attitude paid off here. Working from home lately has given me a lot of time to listen to the podcast during the day, and I'm glad that you've been able to continue to run trivia and create content, even though things have been rough. My trivia team hasn't been able to meet up for quite some time, but we have created a movie club to keep us entertained and also help our weak classic movie category. I like this. They're using this interim period to study up on a weak category. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that listening to the No Nonsense Trivia podcast will also help us win more often. Right back at you there. Here's a question about a state nickname that I thought was particularly memorable. I have included 4 levels of the question below.
Jesus.
Each with a little more info, along with a Wikipedia link to the answer at the bottom. So the levels are 1, the original question. The second version contains an extra hint. The third version contains the year of statehood. And the fourth contains a heavy-handed hint. This is great. I love this.
This is amazing.
Okay. Okay, and there's even little...
That sounds skeptical.
No, not at all. I'm like, I just can't believe the level of work this guy put into... a question for us. I'm kind of eager to hear it.
There's even headers for each question. So first up, it says, you know your state nicknames. So I guess this would be, if you just know it outright. What U.S. state? One called the State of Deseret. would eventually take the translation of the word Deseret as inspiration for their official state nickname and flag. That's Deseret. What U.S. state, once called the State of Deseret, would eventually take the translation of the word Deseret as an inspiration for their official state nickname and flag? So we can suss for a little bit here before we move on, I think.
Deseret makes you think of desert, so you think of like Arizona, Utah, but...
The Four Corners.
And the flag of Arizona is like a big... It's like a horizon. It's like almost like a cartoon. Mm. It's like a cartoon horizon with like a bunch of beams coming out from a star in the middle, and on the bottom of it, what looks like a desert.
Oh, okay.
It kind of so my initial guess is Arizona.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere over there.
So, but should we go ahead with the second?
Oh yeah, I think we should just work through these. You know, we're gonna be guided maybe to the right answer here. Second up, it says no. How about the state motto? What U.S. state, once called the State of Deseret, would eventually take the translation of the word Deseret as inspiration for their official state nickname and flag, symbolizing industry, which is the state's motto? So the state motto is industry.
Well, industry, I'm thinking the Midwest.
Exactly. Or
I'm thinking
Northeast.
Pennsylvania. I'm thinking Ohio.
Pennsylvania is pretty much I think that was its name from the get-go, and I don't know what their Ohio's flag looks. That's a Buckeye, so it's not Ohio. They have a Buckeye on their flag, and they have a very odd looking flag. It's like a triangle. It's not square. So but the Midwest, you're right, when you think industrial, yes, Mark.
Could it be an agriculture thing? Could it be like Wisconsin, Michigan?
Well,
State of Deseret. The state, it's weird because it says it's the original name.
Hold on. I have an idea here.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, very close to, I think there's like some French aspects to Michigan.
Deseret.
Yeah.
Not Deseret.
Deseret.
Why am I reading this?
Could be Michigan.
Tolk.
That's a good, and there is a shit ton of industry, or there was. Especially in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, a shit ton of industry in Michigan.
The automobile industry.
Michigan is like Detroit is right by Canada.
Yes.
And we all know Canada is little France.
Mm-hmm. Big France, as it were.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It's freaking huge. Second largest country in the world.
All right, so isn't Michigan. We're over from Arizona now.
Okay, so now we go to Michigan, if I can just remember what their flag
looks
like.
We're
going to
see where we got right or where we failed by the end of this.
Okay.
All right, next one says, what if you had the year? That's pretty specific.
Yeah.
Once called the State of Deseret. What U.S. state decided on a different name in 1896 when it was admitted to the Union?
Okay, it's not Arizona.
It would eventually use the translation of the word Deseret to inspire the state's nickname and flag, symbolizing industry.
Because Arizona became a state in 1904.
So, yeah. Hold on.
1896?
Deseret inspired the nickname and the flag.
Mm-hmm. And the state's motto is industry, but it's not related to that word.
What?
But it is related, but it's not that word. So 1896, if Arizona is 1904,
it's in the 1900s.
Then that means it's
got to
be somewhere eastern, not western, because California was first, right?
Well, and then California was a state before
on the West Coast.
Like the western states, like Nevada, they were later.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona, New Mexico were later.
Right.
Texas didn't become a state until like the 1850s.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Michigan was a state. Wisconsin was a state going all the way back to the 1860s, all the way out to like even Iowa was a state, you know, like going into the 1870s.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, going down from there, Kansas? No.
What about, so isn't Montana's nickname the Big Sky State?
Yeah.
Could a Deseret be like a huge sky?
That's a good
1896? Yes. I mean, that's
industry?
Like.
Industry?
Yeah, I don't know. Agriculture? They've got farms and stuff, right?
Kansas. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just kind of like bringing that up. I mean, yeah. When there's this many puzzle pieces, you have to make sure they all.
Yeah, I just jibe. Feel like at this point in American history, that center North Midwest center cut is like all undeveloped. It's like three giant territories.
Yeah.
I think they were called like the Midwest Territory. Like there's just no name. So like the Dakotas, Montana, those were all like not carved up yet.
That was all like part of Louisiana Purchase. Mm-hmm. Like going from Louisiana, it went all the way up to Montana. You know, it kind of cut to the Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Can we think of any other Midwest states that may have a nickname that would fit with Desiree? Wisconsin,
Missouri,
the cheese state,
Ohio, Illinois.
These were all states though before 1896.
They were?
Yeah, they were. They were.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I think like this point, that middle,
yeah,
Louisiana Purchase, those states, those are the ones that are
as you head in towards the west. You know, it gets they get later. California, of course, became a state in like the 1840s or 50s.
Yeah,
or
60s the gold rush jumped out ahead.
Exactly, that made them jump ahead. And then you're like Nevada, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona. Arizona was like one of the last states. You know, I think it was in the 1900s when it finally became a state. I'm pretty sure it was 1904. I'm not sure. I'm not positive.
Oklahoma.
But, so this didn't really help us.
Oklahoma
at all.
Was late. I mean,
We kind of got.
And there is industry in Oklahoma.
All right. Should we have our last hint here?
Let's do it. Let's heavy-handed hint.
If you still don't know it. Once called the state of Desiree by its religious founders.
Utah.
What U.S. state decided on a different name in 1896 when it was admitted to the Union? It would eventually use the translation of the word Desiree to inspire the state's nickname and flag, an insect.
The bee, it's Utah.
Oh, it's symbolizing Utah. Industry. Yeah, the it's bee Utah. Is an industrious insect.
It's the bee, it's Utah. They have a beehive on their flag.
Beehive state.
It's okay. It's the Utah.
Let's check the link here. I'll trust Seth on this one.
Yeah, he's right.
It's Utah.
As soon as I heard religious.
Yeah, but when he said insect, it's bee. Well, they have the symbol too, of the Mormons. Is they carried beehives with mm-hmm. them when they came out there, and there is a beehive on their flag.
Yes, that's right.
And the nickname is the Beehive State.
Yeah. Well, the name derives from the word for honeybee in the Book of Mormon, Desiree. Honeybee.
I wonder if that's how it's pronounced.
Let's see here.
How did you say it was spelled?
Deseret. I guess okay. I was right the first time.
Hmm.
I just can't get this pronunciation shit right.
Deseret.
All right, so that was quite the journey that we just went on.
Yeah, that was a cool question, though. Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
And even with the easiest one, I'm not sure I would have gotten that. But
the easiest one, I wish they would have not included the religious thing.
Yeah, that was
I think the beehive thing. I think that's good because I think there are still a number of people that don't know that Utah is considered the beehive state. The religious, when you think of states that are like, you know, overrun with religion.
Yeah.
You think of Utah.
Utah.
I think that it would be the perfect amount of hardness on the Mohs scale.
Ah.
I don't know if we can use that.
Shut
that
up.
Way.
On the Mohs scale, I would say it would be the perfect amount of hardness without the religious thing. Let me have my moment, will you?
Yeah. I just think we should have like the no-no
when I link
scale
it to the Mohs, you know?
That's great. And all but
the no-mo
well,
scale.
I mean, we are going to do it on our own scale. I'm going to give it an A plus. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give it an A. I'll give it an A in its easiest form. A plus if we cut the religion.
I say A plus if you cut the religious. That's question what I just out said. Of it. Yeah,
yes,
I agree.
Okay,
100%.
We agree.
That was
how many
really
stars
good.
Do you give it?
I'll give it like 4.5. So. It's pretty good.
4.5 out of 5.
I like it. I like it a lot. There's a lot of information in here, and it's also a.
I like how you like made it seem like you're like, oh, just 4.5. It's like you literally only can get half a star more.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's pretty fucking great.
Yeah, I would love to see this. Just kind of like, you know, I don't know if I'd prefer religious founders not be in there. That does make it quite a bit easier. But just the whole question, if you can get all that information condensed into a single sentence question, rather than you know, it would eventually use the translation of the word Desiree. You can take that information and just slightly reword it, I think, and, mm-hmm. and just clean it up. So, you know, you don't have to repeat it three times. You can just repeat it once or twice in a live environment. But that is a great question. Thank you, Rumpelstiltskin Steve, for that. A
lot of work.
Let's do one more.
Thank you, Tenacious Steve.
This one, yeah. Tenacious Steve. And this one comes from Evan. Hello, gents. This is a straightforward trivia question and features some fun background info and a word that I tripped over. Then tripped over again. Thought you'd have fun doing the same. Not again.
Well, Lee is going to trip over now. So.
Here you go. But Evan breaks this down so beautifully.
Almighty.
Yeah. Invented by Emperor Maximilian's personal physician, Samuel Siegfried Karl Ritter von Bosch, in the year 1881. Mm-hmm. A sphygmomanometer, I think, is better known as what?
All right, I'm going to need the whole question again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Invented by Emperor Maximilian's personal physician. You know Emperor Maximilian. He had a personal physician named Samuel Siegfried Karl Ritter von Bosch in the year 1881. A sphygmomanometer. I've had a few beers here.
Yes.
A sphygmomanometer is commonly referred to as what?
Can you spell that?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
S-P-H-Y-G-M-O-M-A-N-O-M-E-T-E-R. And there's some more notes here. There's a pronunciation guide. Sphygmomanometer. And if that's not doing it for you, here's another breakdown. Sphyg, like Sven, if he exclusively ate Fig Newtons. MoMA, like the Manhattan Museum. Nom, like Cookie Monster sounds.
Nom, nom, nom.
Mitter, like, I don't know, a person who makes catcher's mitts. Sphygmomanometer. Sphygmomanometer. I got it now. Thank you, Evan.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, that's great.
Sphygmomanometer.
Sphygmomanometer.
Better known as what?
Okay, it's a meter. No, it's not a meter. It sounds like meter, but it's not.
Is it one of those things that a doctor uses? The heartbeat monitor?
A stethoscope?
A stethoscope. Thank you.
Maybe that's it.
Can we hear the question one more time?
Maybe it is a blood pressure monitor. Maybe it's like an arm cuff type thing. Invented by Emperor Maximilian's personal physician, Samuel Siegfried Karl Ritter von Bosch. In the year 1881, a sphygmomanometer is better known as what?
I think you're right. I think it's a blood pressure gauge. And here's my reasoning. When you take someone's blood pressure, you put the cuff on and you apply the pressure to cut off the circulation of the arm. And then as you take the pressure back down, your artery in the arm is going to make a noise that they call Korotkov noises. That's what they're called. And you listen for those and you watch the meter as they start and they begin. And as the meter descends, when they start, that's your systolic. And then when they stop, that's your diastolic. Exactly. So Korotkov sounds German. Sphygmomanometer, obviously German. Mm-hmm. There's your rationale for the blood pressure cuff.
And a stethoscope has no metering capabilities on it.
No.
So no way.
So sphygmomanometer, I think that's a good guess right there. I think that.
Okay. Oh, I have to go to my email because I was scared to see the answer.
I don't agree with that guess.
You don't?
No.
What do you think?
I don't know.
You just don't like it, huh?
No, it's not that I don't like it. When I think of meter, I think of something that actually does the measuring for you.
But this is 1881.
I know.
And there is a meter on a blood pressure cuff.
That's true. Maybe you're right. You might be. I'm not saying I know any better. I want to make that clear. I know Seth is a smart man.
That's by no means am I nailing this down as a correct answer for sure. It's just a guess.
Thermometer. Sphygmomanometer. Yeah, all right, Lee, you look flummoxed.
I'm just trying to find this email.
He's been
manometer.
Flummoxed.
But I don't.
Manometer.
monitor. And there is an easy mode hint that I read here. It often contains mercury, but newer ones can be digital.
Thermometer.
What did I just fucking say?
Yep,
you did. The answer is blood pressure monitor.
Damn!
Oh, wow, blood what pressure, the fuck?
Or blood pressure gauge.
Damn!
As okay. the case may be.
You get fucking 100% dabs.
Oh, mm-hmm. the fucking fist on that one.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Damn.
I'm going to give this one 4 stars just because it took me quite a bit of practice to get it right, and I know I would fuck this
up. I'm going to give an A+.
Setting. I'm going to give you an A+ to the pronunciation, Lee. I'm so glad that you made it through that.
Eventually, I got there.
It's not every day you get to say sphygmomanometer.
Sphygmomanometer.
There you go.
Sphygmomanometer. I just got to remember Cookie Monster, Art Gallery, Sven Eating Figs. And Catcher's Mitt guy.
Since I have so many questions here, can I put in to rate my question?
Yes. You can, Mark, but I also want to just say, I don't know if you noticed this, but in the last episode, you took an extra question in the second round.
Did I?
You did. You asked an extra question, but go ahead. You're bursting.
Are you sure?
Yes, go for it.
Because we got to give big ups to our man, Alex Trebek.
Oh, yes.
You're goddamn right we do.
Ask two.
Here you go. On February 4th, 1991... Alex Trebek made broadcast history by becoming the first person to host 3 American game shows at the same time with Jeopardy, To Tell the Truth, and what other daytime game show?
It starts with a C. It starts with a C. It's one word.
It's like every good ocean.
Concentration?
It's like that. Yeah, maybe that's it. That sounds like it. Concentration.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
That was like a memory game.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right.
I think that's it.
Is it Concentration, Mark?
Classic Concentration.
Damn!
Yes. Damn. Now, originally, I was going to make it harder for you guys by saying Jeopardy, Classic Concentration, and what other game show? Because I wouldn't have known to tell the truth.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
But indeed. I wanted to give you guys the middle ground version.
5 stars.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I like that we were able to work together on that.
Through it.
Yeah, I like absolutely. That it was just on the edge of the brain. That's mm-hmm. what you want. Yep. I'm glad that you guys were able to still suss it. And I'm glad I was able to give a shout out to Alex Trebek.
Yes.
Absolutely.
R.I.P.
Yes. Are we starting? Who are we starting with on this round?
Starting with you, Seth.
Okay.
It's, all right, yes.
Here we go.
Guess
inspired
first.
By a World War II question, but not a World War II question. It's actually a geography question.
Oh, great.
Oh, real quick, by the way, if you want to send us a rate my question or miscorrection, yes. You can do so. nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Nice.
Neighbor of the beast. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right.
Got that 9 in the middle.
That's right. Yeah. Got to put one off. All right.
Satan likes to eat puss, suck dick.
Believe in yourself.
What? He's got an appetite for love because he's so horny.
Yeah.
Yes, both on his head and in his libido.
He's so sexual, he's not bisexual, he's sexual bi.
Mm.
You guys know that Alice Cooper song, Feed My Frankenstein?
I do.
Oh, man. There's a line in that song where he's like, I'm hungry for love and I don't want pizza. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He says, I'm a hungry man and I don't want pizza.
If only it's there was so a podcast bad. To talk about terrible lyrics like that.
If only there was a podcast where you could talk about terrible lyrics. Would you guys get on that? Would you two?
Yeah, I think
I would love to hear you guys.
I think I could invest a few hours of my life every week into something like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great idea. A whole podcast where Mark from the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast and our beloved guest Seth talk about terrible lyrics and songs.
Yeah.
What would that be called?
It would be called Lyrics to Go, is what I think I would call it.
It would.
Oh, okay.
And it would be Seth and I waxing nostalgic about songs, both that we love and loathe, and the lyrics, and the known and unknown implications of those lyrics, and going on for about half an hour about line by line how terrible or misguided or whatever other kind of awful they could be.
I think the original intent was when I thought of it, when you presented this idea to me, was those songs that you love to sing along to the choruses to. Suddenly, we were going to shine a light on all of the wicked, awful, and terrible that are hidden in the verses that you weren't paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be more than that. It is, but that was the original intent. But it's basically to go over what might not be good, what you might not have known was bad about these songs.
Indeed.
Well, it sounds quite entertaining. Mm-hmm. When can I look forward to hearing about this or hearing an episode of this?
They were going to start putting episodes out every Friday.
Yes.
On December 18th.
Yes. Oh, December we were correct.
18th.
Yes.
We were correct on that one.
Well, yeah. And just a celebratory ding, 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 of course.
And we are going to have you on very soon.
Yes.
Maybe Feed My Frankenstein can be your song.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. There are some, there's some bad, some stinkers that I've had on my mind. But I will definitely come to a conclusion on one of these. And I would love to be on.
Alice Cooper has some great songs.
Yeah.
He also has some horrifically bad songs. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've heard Hey Stupid. But that's one of the dumbest songs that ever existed. All about
that song.
That is one of the worst songs.
Hey, 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 stupid.
Or whatever the fuck he says. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, man. That might be your first miniseries that you do. Side podcast.
Multi-episode.
But lyrics to go. December 18th, 2020. Yes. Mark Davis. Seth Ford.
Yes.
Back together again. Weekly.
Very, very excited. Yeah.
Weekly.
Yeah,
I'm excited as well. It will be weekly?
I think so. Yeah. We're
going to run it in batches.
Yeah, we're going to feel it out. We might still do a seasons thing where we do a chunk at a time.
Yeah.
We're basically going to we got about 7 or 8 in the bag. We're going to start recording some in the interim while we're putting those out and just kind of see we know that there's an infinite amount of songs out there with bad lyrics, but we're trying to focus on songs that most people know, easily accessible. So do we want to run through a bunch of the great ones right off? I'm not sure.
No.
So we're still kind of feeling a lot of that stuff out, but in the beginning it will be weekly unless we hit a stop where we, do a second season later on. But yeah, we are very, very excited about it.
The Schadenfreude in me wants to just find those songs that were just part of your youth, part of, what made you feel good and then just, shit all over them and make you suddenly realize, this wasn't as this wasn't exactly what I thought. That's part of it. But there's going to be more to it than just that. There are quite a few songs that, like he said, we do love.
We got songs by Billy Squier. We got a song by
who I don't love.
We got a song by Dr. Dre,
who I love.
We've got a song by
Van Halen.
So we've got a couple that are, fun. And we're also trying not to double up on bands if we can help it. We have a Rolling Stones song.
Really pick their worst effort.
To do. Yeah.
Yes.
Or one that stands out most. But
sometimes it's not even their worst effort. Sometimes it's just, lyrics that grab you in an odd way. So far, we've done quite a few, and we've learned some things about these songs going over them. It's definitely easy to say that it's been a learning process.
It has.
As far as like evaluating taste and what's good and what's bad about music and art and what you once held sacred and probably won't anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear it, gentlemen.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I'm also very excited about the prospects of a first guest. Very, very much.
You will be the first guest.
That we're going to say it right
there.
Now. We're
gonna
you will right be now. The first guest, and we have other people that we've talked to, a couple of ideas we floated about close friends of ours and others that we want to have on. So, it'll be a little bite size, and it'll be factual. We'll be talking about, the music video, the album, when it came out, blah, 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 blah. So there will be a little... It wouldn't be the two of us if we weren't talking about some facts stuff. So.
Yeah,
true. Well, I look forward to joining you there. And listeners, don't forget, December 18th, Lyrics to Go, the debut episode.
On platforms that will be announced.
Mm-hmm. Seth,
All right. A
trivia question.
Here we go.
Close us out here.
Inspired by World War II questions at the end. This is not, however, it is a geography question.
Okay.
Here we go.
Very bad at geography.
Well... This is possible. All right. This is possible for both of you.
Okay. See about that.
The entirety of Sakhalin Island, that's spelled Sakhalin, the entirety of Sakhalin Island is now part of what country?
Indonesia? That is a lot of islands, right? I mean,
Sakhalin Island.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Indonesia.
Can I hear that one more time?
The entirety of Sakhalin Island, S-A-K, Sakhalin Island, is now a part of what country? It is now all in this country.
What guess did you make?
Well, I said Indonesia.
Now it smells like Indonesia, bus stop full of fly bitches and skeezers.
That's right.
I only got it in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's right. That's just a guess because islands, you know, and it's an island that was split and it's now part of one island. And he said it was World War II related.
That's correct.
So that means that.
That should be a hint.
Mm-hmm. Somebody.
Forgot to do shirt laundry.
Somebody got their island back. It was like
all the dude ever wanted was his island back. I don't know why I can't wrap my mind around this question.
So there was
Sakhalin Island.
Yeah. It belonged to two countries. And then after World War II, based on Seth's hint, it went to one country, which is what? So who are some allies from World War II that would be redeemed? Doesn't this sound like kind of a Norwegian word, Sakhalin?
That's what I was trying to like work with.
Mm-hmm. Denmark.
S-A-K? It sounds Norway. Native American to me. There's something about SAK that sounds Native American to me. Canada? There are a lot of islands around Canada. Remember Thousand Island?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
My initial thought was America because we just fucking own everything that's just out there and about. We'd just be like, give me that.
That's how we act.
That is how we act. Thousand Islands. Thousand Canada. Islands, Lee.
That's a good guess.
Native American sounding.
Mm-hmm.
French sounding.
All right.
Merci beaucoup, Sakhalin.
I don't know.
Island. Oh.
I like Canada, though, as a guess.
World War II?
They had to be involved.
They had to be somewhere going.
America's
on
going. You guys want to come with? All right, we'll throw some troops in there. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe we can get our island back. If we put some in, we can get our island back.
Yeah, we'll give you this island.
Mm-hmm.
If you draw, you fly, we buy.
Yep. Let's go with Canada.
We're going to go with Canada.
I'm so sorry. That's I thought the World War II would yield a little bit more into it. It actually all belongs now to Russia. But Sakhalin Island is in the Japanese archipelago. It is part of the Japanese island chain. It is just a little bit north of the island of Hokkaido, and it runs kind of parallel to Russia. And Russia, it's considered by the Japanese today, it's Japanese territory. They look at it as part of them. They consider it part of Japan. However, after World War II, it was ceded after many, many wars that they fought over, specifically the Japanese Russo War of 1905. They were constantly fighting over it. And at the 50th parallel, the Russians would say, everything north of this is ours and everything south of this is Japan's. And it was constantly going back and forth. And after World War II, Russia took over the whole thing. And, It's actually a really big island. It's a big part of the Japanese archipelago, but it's Russian territory now.
I love that pronouncing of archipelago.
Archipelago, did I say it wrong?
Don't ask me, man.
Lee, we're going to hug
Don't
after this
me.
One, man.
Yeah, yeah, I say the two of you are just me and you. Outwardly just...
Find our new pronunciation podcast. Launching
talk
on January 1st, 2021.
Talk. Archipelago.
Talk.
All right, Mark. Last question.
Is it me?
It's on you.
Okay. Here we Go. What building takes up the Manhattan City block between 49th and 50th Streets and Park and Lexington Avenues?
One more time, if you don't mind.
What building takes up the Manhattan City block between 49th and 50th Streets and Park and Lexington Avenues?
Park and Lexington Avenues. All right. Park Avenue, that's around 5th. And what's the first two numbers? 49th and 50th.
All right, Streets and Park and Lexington Avenues.
Now, Empire State Building's down in the 30s. I think it's 34th. And when you go north there on Park, that's...
A question for you New Yorkers.
Yeah. 40th and 50th. And Park is one. Is that one of those ones that kind of like skews off like diagonally? I can't.
You know what word I always liked? The what words together? I was like Park Slope.
That's in Brooklyn.
That just feels. I know, but it's got a good mouth feel.
Mm-hmm.
Park Slope.
Had that, a very close friend that lived in Park Slope.
Yeah, it does the same thing for my mouth as saying the word juice. Park juice. Slope juice. It's got. It makes my mouth happy.
How do you feel about moist?
It doesn't bother me, but I feel like 90% of people that are bothered are women, and they're probably bothered because gross guys are like, oh, yeah, moist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, being gross.
Yeah.
Seems like a gross word that, like, 12-year-olds say.
For me, it's mostly men that I've heard complain about that word. They're like, I don't like moist.
Weak-ass bitch men.
It seems a little...
I've heard mostly women say that they don't like that word. I agree with them. I've heard that same with Mark, but that's just my experience. Although I'm sure that there's some...
It's definitely a reviled word.
Yeah, it comes up a lot.
It doesn't bother me.
I'm thinking that Park and Lexington around that area, would it be the Flatiron Building? That's closer to Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
That's close, or is that going to be further south of Flatiron?
That's a very famous building.
Archipelago. Archipelago? Archipelago?
Here were some buildings that jumped into my mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
One World Trade Tower.
World Trade's way to the south.
Yeah, you're right.
Could be Sports
Authority. That's like Battery Park all the way to the south. Yep,
you're right.
Could it be Sports Authority?
I don't think so. It could be, I guess.
It's the Foot Locker.
Lady Foot Locker.
The Lady Foot Locker. No, I don't know.
But
those are good
to be in all those, like to have all of those intersections around it. I'm thinking Grand
Penn
Central
Station.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Penn Station.
I've never Grand Central got cut off.
I was going to say I've never been in Penn Station, but I have been in Grand Central Station.
Was it in Midtown?
I mean, it's central. It's Grand Central. It's the most mid. Central means mid.
I mean, I think by the 50s, you're in Midtown.
Mm hmm.
And Park is right down, is like near the middle. Is it Grand Central, maybe?
I feel good about Grand Central.
I feel pretty good about that one.
Okay.
All right, you want to go with that? We're going to go with Grand Central Station.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that's incorrect.
God damn it.
Wait, one more guess.
Okay.
Is it the New York Public Library?
No.
Is it the Flatiron Building?
No.
What is it?
It is the Waldorf Astoria Hotel.
Damn. All right. Okay.
All right.
I don't feel too bad about it.
It's a tough one.
I
left it last for a reason. Wanted to give you guys a tough one.
That is a tough
The namesake of those two old Muppets, right?
Well, Waldorf is one. I don't think Astoria is the other one. Astoria is the other one.
Oh. Well, half the namesake then.
It's like Waldorf and... Leonard Cronkite or something, or Cronkite or something. Yeah, exactly. I can't remember.
All right. My last question is a U.S. history question.
All right.
What is the name of the bookseller turned soldier who served as George Washington's Secretary of War? What is the name of the bookseller turned soldier who served as George Washington's Secretary of War? I'm going to give you guys a special Seth-flavored hint here.
Go ahead.
His parents were Ulster Scott.
Ulster Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Or as we call it in the South, Scotch-Irish. Oh, I know this. I do know this. Mm. Give me 1 second. Give me a second.
You can have two.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. What bookseller turned soldier served as George Washington's Secretary of War?
I know it. I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue. McHenry.
No.
No?
Damn.
No. I didn't even get a chance to...
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. He was looking at me with desperation. I had to let him know. Were you going to come up with it, Mark? You knew this?
You know what I was going to guess?
What?
I was probably wrong, but I was going to guess Alexander Hamilton.
No, that's not wrong. The correct answer is Henry Knox.
Henry Knox.
Henry Knox. Yep.
All right. You know what I was thinking?
You can't say it now.
Because of Fort McHenry. Star Spangled Banner.
Yep.
He was Fort McHenry Knox.
He was Northern Irish.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's where that came
from. Yep. Knox is, I guess it's not a very like
Knox is more of a obvious Scottish name, but yeah. Ulster Scots, you mm-hmm. know. Yeah.
He was a self-educated military science nerd whose bookstore became a hotspot for Boston aristocrats. Hmm. And he also supported the Sons of Liberty and served as a guard of the Dartmouth, one of the ships involved in the Boston Tea Party. Just a side knowledge on Henry Knox. And now you know him, of course, the namesake of Fort Knox.
Oh.
Not the Waldorf Astoria, but Fort Knox, where they keep all the gold.
Knox, I grew up
with. Not all the gold.
John Knox. He was a Scottish reformer in the 1500s. He was a theologian. He was like a progenitor of the Presbyterian Church, and I actually visited his home.
It's pronounced progenitor, by the way.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I pronounced it wrong.
He was the archipelago of the Presbyterian Church. And I went and visited position. His name's John Knox, and he's really famous, you know, in biblical, you know, Christian circles is really well known. And I visited his house in Edinburgh, Scotland, and I was shocked at how small they must have been in the 1500s, because I'm 5'9", and you had to duck into the doorways, and the tables and the chairs were very small, almost like. And they said, and this was for the average sized person back then. They must have been only like 5 feet tall.
Yeah, so, I mean that's what the science suggests is that we are getting larger as we go on.
Hell yeah!
Just like our podcast.
Yes.
Thank you so much to our listeners for listening, and thank you, Seth. For joining us here once again.
So much fun doing this,
guys. Yeah, we enjoy having you here, and I can't wait to check out your new podcast, Lyrics to Go, December 18th.
December 18th.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to have you on.
Yes.
We'll do it soon. So get to thinking.
Get on top of me.
Bayou's
excited.
Without a Bayou.
Bayou knows the drill.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. This episode, share it. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com. And clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains, Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Molly and Ryan, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpel Snailskins, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike Costume Change.
Michael S.
Mike Scotts.
And Michael J.
Mikey J. rules!
He does.
Yes. And if you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or Miscorrection, or even just a little no-no, we would appreciate that. NoNonsenseTrivia@gmail.com. That is the email address. 1-929-356-6969. 6666 is the phone number. And please don't forget to give us a follow on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, while you're at it, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
5 stars only, please.
We actually got a new review here. I just wanted to read this to you real quick before we head out.
Please. Let me get my dopamine rush. Is it 5 stars?
You know it.
God damn, yeah.
Yep, this is from Cat1E.
Maybe it's like Katie? No,
K1T. So probably Katie.
Yeah. K1T.
5 stars only is the subject. I'm on episode 106, and I love the trivia during work. I do have to say, I love stupid trivia. I'm listening to two guys talk about the Beatles jerking off in the dark. Smiley face emoji. So thank you, K1T, for that great 5-star review.
Maybe related to KRS-One.
Yep, K1T.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Never know.
Until next time, no-nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.